Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
We'll be going in correlation with what has been going on in our world today. And I'm not talking about the political realm. I'm talking about in our church world. When Brother Nealon had asked me to minister tonight, I had already had my mind set on one thing, and therefore the Lord changed it to this. And I believe tonight that I will be able to reach somebody here through the power of the Holy Ghost. If you have your Bibles tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and verse 4. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and verse number 4. I will not be like some preachers that says, turn to 2 Corinthians 1 and 3. Have you got it? Say amen. My Lord, give them time to find it. I know we have it on the wall, but if you want to read out of your Bibles, I'm going to give you a little time. Amen. 2 Corinthians 1 and 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us, verse 4, who comforteth us in our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them in any trouble. Let me repeat that, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now, how in the world can we take such a dismal scripture that we, the children of God, are going to be able to comfort somebody else? And I want to preach to us tonight on the beauty of being broken. Father, once again, we come to you tonight. I pray, God, that you would hide me behind the cross. Let me hear your word. Let me feel your voice. Let me feel the presence of God and the power of the Holy Ghost. Watch over each one of us, Lord. In Jesus' loving name we pray, and everybody says amen. You may be seated tonight in the power of the Holy Ghost. The Apostle Paul was a man that knew what comfort it was to live for God. He was a man that knew what the presence of the Holy Ghost would be and the living for him that would wrap himself around him. And knowing that Paul was a man that if we would have to say was qualified to talk about something like this, I believe the Apostle Paul was qualified to be able to talk that we go through things that we may be able to comfort others. You want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 19. It says in verse 19, "For we suffer fools gladly, seeing yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if being a man, or if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take you, if a man exalt you, if a man smite you on the face. I speak concerning reproach as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein any is bold, I speak foolishly. I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more." In laborers, here's where he breaks it down, that he is qualified to preach or to talk about being able to comfort somebody else. In labors more abundantly, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in the perils of my own countrymen. In perils by the heathen, in perils of the city, in the perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils of false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. You see, the Apostle Paul went through it all. He knew what life was all about. He knew the pains and the sufferings that would come with living for God. And tonight I'm here to preach to you that you and I will be broken. Amen. We're going to go through things. Brother Nealon has said it many times. If you've not been through it, hold on, honey. You're going to go through it. You see, the scripture says, if any man fall upon Christ Jesus, he shall be broken. But if God falls on you, honey, you're going to be crushed. I want to fall on him today. I want him to be able to touch my life, that I might be able to help somebody in life's road. I know some of you are probably saying, preacher, what gives you the power or the authority? It's sad when we, as a church of the living God, has to feel like somebody has to qualify on preaching a message about being broken. Oh, you don't know what I've been through, preacher. You don't know what I'm going through in my life. Honey, I don't know what you've been through, but can I talk to you tonight? Amen. In 1995, September the 27th, I stood at the bed of my father as I watched him draw his last breath. January the 3rd of 1998, I received a phone call or a text. That's when we had pagers. How many of you ever had a pager? Oh, man, we was uptown. I got a page with my mother-in-law's phone number, and it had 911 on it. And we had just got our first cell phone. I told my wife, call your mother. I knew what it was. And she called Mom, and he said, Dad just died. August the 20th of 1998, I know what it's like to bend down on one knee and look your son in the eye and say, son, I'm sorry, but Mom will not be coming back home. Come on, preach. I'm being qualified tonight. I'm just laying some foundation. Amen. It was in September the 12th of 2000. I got a call early in the morning that said, James, Mama just passed away 15 days before Dad was dead 5 years. Do we stop there? That was about 2 o'clock in the morning. At 9 o'clock, we got up at 9 o'clock. And about 11 o'clock, my wife, my present wife, had a doctor's appointment with a neurologist. As we left her, I thought, thank God she didn't hear the prognosis that the doctor gave. We stopped at a store. And when we came out, I came out. I stood there and I watched that darling as tears streaming down her face. And she was in convulsions. I said, what's the matter, baby? And she was looking at that prognosis. And she said, he says, I've got MS, multiple sclerosis. I said, no. He said, possible multiple sclerosis. Can I ask you a question tonight? Am I qualified to preach a message on the beauty of being broken? You see, we in the world that we live today, I don't want to be dismal right now. I've got to break it down so I can bring it back up, okay? How many of you ladies have got a favorite dish or had a favorite dish that was your mother's or your grandmother's that some child recklessly broke and you put it back together with super glue? I can tell you right where it is right now. It's in a closet. And every now and again, you'll go look at it to see that was grandma's or that was my mama's. Or better yet, we'll take that broken piece of pottery. If it's not all broken up, we'll put it to where, you know, you can see the front piece of it. We'll put a flower arrangement in it. We'll put napkins in it to cover the broken pieces, don't we? Because you see, can I say it this way? We're too proud to talk about our past. We're too proud to talk about the brokes, the breaks and the aches and the pains. We're too proud to talk about the things that we once had and the way it used to be. But you look at it now. Back in the 1700s, I believe it was, there was a man that had his favorite teapot or plate. It broke it. So he sent it back to the company and said, fix this bowl. And whenever he got it back, he looked at that bowl and it had a bunch of ghastly staples that they put in there and pushed it back together. And he thought, this ain't going to happen. It's not the way I really wanted it. So he formed his own thing called kintsugi. How many of you have heard of kintsugi? So he would take that piece of pottery and he would break it back apart. And then he would take the process of melted gold and give you a product like this. You see, he wasn't so fascinated by the beauty of the bowl. He's fascinating about the brokenness of that bowl. It became a center point of his life. It became the place where people could talk about it. And he would say, look, this is what I love. And he said, I thought so much of this bowl that I fixed it with broken glass. I fixed it with gold that it would bring out the brokenness of it all. Oh, come on, church. I'm preaching to you tonight that God wants you. There's somebody in your world that you could speak to. Somebody in your life that would help you to walk in the world today. And then sometimes all the pieces couldn't be found. And so they would take and they would put another piece in its place. Oh, not me. But what about that little middle piece where the blue stuff is? God may take some things from you, honey, but he's going to put some other things in your life that's going to make you a little bit better. Amen. You see, the world that we live today, at God in all of his glory, God in all of his splendor, God in all of his beauty, he doesn't see what you're going through today. He doesn't only see what you've been through yesterday, but he sees where you're going tomorrow. He sees what's going to happen to you in the days to come. He knows right where to put you at the right time, at the right place. I could name people today that you're wondering, why me? Sister Hennigan, why me? You have to lose your darling husband. Sister Mayo, why you that you would have to lose your husband, go through what he's going through? Why? Come on. Every one of you, you've got problems. You're saying, why me, God? Why me, Lord? Why have I got to go through what I've been going through? Amen. Let me tell you why. In the book of Revelations, he says, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. I've been timed. I've been in churches where they had to do away with testimony service because somebody's going to get up there and talk about everything. But then there are times the pastor would say, I need somebody to testify. And somebody would get up and say, church, I've been going through some things in my life. But bless God, he brought me through it. And they will kind of give a little scenario of what God brought them through. And there'll be somebody else going in that same building and say, my God, if you brought them through it, you can bring me through it. Amen. You see, when we go through things, God brings us out on the other side that we can be a better individual. I got to get it where I can see it. I bought a new pair of glasses and I can't even read out of them right now. We live in a wild world, don't we? The Apostle Paul, Peter said it this way. He said, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Sister, you're probably wondering why you're going through all the stuff you're going through right now. Don't be ashamed of it because God's going to bring you through. And you're going to be able to help somebody else. Oh, not me. Nobody wants to hear about my problems. They let him glory God on this behalf. Let him glory God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. If it begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? Let me stop right here and clear the air. The Apostle Peter said, if the righteous scarcely be saved. I'm sorry, but we're not scarcely going to be saved. I don't believe that. He was kind of using that as a metaphor that said, what if we just scarcely be saved? If we just get in by the skin of our teeth, just what is this going to happen to the sinner and the ungodly? But you see, God, when he prepared the ark, Noah was on the ark 7 days before he closed the door. I do not believe that God's going to wait and let us go through tribulations and trials, and Brother Neely can preach what he wants to. This is my behalf. I got the mic tonight. I really don't even know how he stands on that time frame. But here's the way I feel. If the spirit of the world, the iniquity, or the son of perdition, the spirit of iniquity can only be revealed after the spirit of God is revealed or taken away. If I've got the spirit of God in my life, do you think he's going to take his spirit out of me and go away and leave me here to suffer? I don't believe that. And the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is going to change this mortal body into immortality. Woo! But you see, we've got to suffer with him in the hour. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. You would have to know Papa McFarlane. Any most beloved people here? Don't be ashamed of it, honey. I assisted there for 6 years. Darling Otis, you know her? This was her father. He was diagnosed to have cancer. I know most of us, our world would fall apart. Sitting at his table and his family gathered around him, he told them about being diagnosed to have cancer. Tears streaming down his face. He says, I thank God that I can suffer for his namesake. You see, he passed away years ago, but his message is still going on. First time I ever saw Papa McFarlane, I walked into church. I sat in the back of the church, and he was an old man. But I'm older than he is now whenever he passed away, and I thought he wasn't that old of a man after all. But I thought, what kind of old man would sit on the front pew? I said, that has got to be a preacher's nightmare. But then I got to watching, and all of the kids, I found out later that Papa McFarlane was never in Sunday school because he was in the Sunday school rooms, Brother Tyler, with boys your age and the young kids that way, and he was teaching. And they said there was a jealousy amongst the teachers because all the kids wanted to sit at Papa McFarlane's table. And they would come and sit by Papa McFarlane on the front pew. And then he would get up and he would start a victory march like a papa duck with all his little ducklings following him. And around the church they would go. You see, whenever you go through things, God can bring you out with a little gold. There's beauty in it. Oh, none of us like to suffer. None of us like to go through things. None of us like to be in that place that we may be able to have to go through. Well, I know you don't want to hear what I've been through, but you know, just suck it up, honey, and God will see you through it. I hate when people tell somebody, I'm going to man up. Man up. Grow up. Be a man. Be a woman. Baby, they're hunting. They're hurting just like you hurted. They're hunting for something just like you're hunting for something. Amen. But God has given you the power and the authority and the privilege and the joy of being able to say, hey, come on, let me take you down the road. Dottie Rambeau used to sing a song. Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Go back to where God brought you through and you see that soul that's suffering. Don't tell him, say, hey, you got the same Holy Ghost that I got. Come on, man up. You can live for God. This time, we can take that individual and say, look, I know you're going through hard times. I know you're going through hurts and aches and pains. But come on, lean on my shoulder. Lean on my shoulder and let me help you through life's problems. But you don't understand. I don't need to know. I've been down the road, but I know that I can help somebody else through the beauty of being broken. You have to bear with me. It's been a while since I've preached. My old throat's been going out on me. Paul wrote to Timothy, he says, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me, his prisoner. You remember, Paul had already spoken of all that he's been through. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the grace according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, according, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and gifts, which was given unto us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, therefore, being made manifest according to the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded he is able to keep that which I have kept or committed unto him. You see, God has already planned your present before you was ever thought of. I'm looking over to my left and your right and seeing a precious darling, Sister Yellen. And she's probably saying, why have I been through all I've been going through? But there's going to be somebody. And I say, if Sister Yellen can live for God, so can I. You're probably thinking that your world is shattered tonight. Your world, you don't know which way to turn. In a crowd this size, I know I'm preaching to people that you've got a question mark for a brain. All you can think of is, why me, Lord? What have I ever done? It's quiet because I know I'm on page. I know I'm in queue. I know right where I am. I told you I had something else that I wanted to preach about, and I love to preach about how much I hate the devil. I may get to preach it one night, but right now, I got to preach to help you. But God has brought you to this point. As Ruth said, or Mordecai, I told Ruth that you're here for such a time as this, that someone is going to go through some things, and you've been able to pick them up. How many's heard the old poem about the man that crossed the chasm wide? And once he got to the other side, he stopped and built a bridge back across the same chasm. And somebody asked him, why, old man, are you building this chasm today? He said, because the person following me may not be as strong as I, and I built a bridge to help them cross it a lot easier than me. You see, God is wanting somebody to help somebody else make it through. You've got a testimony. You've got a voice of praise. You've got somebody out there is waiting for you to come talk to. How many times has Brother Nealon said, Lord, put me in a place where you need me? Things that I've been through, I had a man call me, and I began to help him. He had to put his wife in a nursing home. She was his eyes, he was his ears, she was his feet, she was his chauffeur. And she couldn't stay off of sugar. And her diabetes got so bad they had to amputate one leg. And while she was in the nursing home, they had to amputate the other leg. This man was legally blind. And she drove him everywhere. And finally, when I hung up the phone, it was 2 hours later that we finally got off the phone. I'm telling you, God's got somebody that you can help. Could we stand? I feel like right now, rolling back the time, it was in 1985, the mid-80s. I was in Moss Bluff, in the Stan Houston Jones State Park. I was sitting at a table enjoying the fellowship of the church people that was with us. And back then, I still love them, but I don't drink them like I did. I had me a little glass of Dr. Pepper, and I had a 2-liter in front of me and a bottle of ice right there beside me, and I was just enjoying myself. And I was looking around, and there was a man standing up talking, and he was a Pentecostal preacher. And some said, go talk to him. So I go and I'm standing there talking to this man, and as we're conversing about the things of life, there to my left, probably about 6 foot away from me, there was this group of kids that was sitting on side of the ledge, and one of them was trying to reach in to get her foot in the water. And this child was somewhere around the Williams' granddaughter's age, and not much bigger than them. And I told this gentleman, I said, if this girl doesn't watch out, she's fixing to fall in. And I no sooner got that out of my mouth than I watched her as she plunged into the water. She came up, and I was startled. I didn't know what to do, and she went back again. And when she came up that second time, her little eyes was as big as saucers. Her mouth was wide open. And today, I don't know what she looked like, but I still remember that look on her face as she was going down that third time, as the water closed in over her eyes and it began to distort her figure. Her mouth began to fill with water and her face was all contorted. And something propelled me and I fell on my side. And I reached into the water about mid-arm and I grabbed her by her little arm and jerked her out and landed her on the bank. And tonight I feel like I'm reaching into the stage of depression. I know what depression looks like on the face of a loved one. I know what it's like, church, to preach to people that you're sitting there with a stare blank look on your face. But you don't have to look there. You don't have to live there. Your past can only be a stepping stone, or you can let it be your stumbling block. I'm reaching for somebody tonight to let you know you don't have to live in a state of depression. You see, when Jesus met the man at Gadara, he lived in the tombs. But whenever God gave back his right mind, when God cast the demons out of him, he didn't live there anymore. We don't have to live in the tombs anymore. Satan don't have, you don't have to let Satan wound you, keep you down. You don't have to be pressed down. You don't have to be despondent all the time. Are you tired of living that way tonight? Are you tired of living in the past of yesteryear? I remember when. Come on, friend. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's wanting us tonight to serve somebody that you want to get out of that state of depression. You want to step out and say, God, if you can use me, you can use anything. I look back in the scripture, see where God used a donkey. He used a dog. He used roosters. He used everything that he could get his hand on. Say, God, if you can use them, you can use me. We preach, we sing that song, Jesus, use me. And oh, Lord, don't refuse me. But when the pressure's coming on, we're automatically like Moses, and Lord, I'll go, but send Aaron. Anybody want to step out tonight and let God use you? You don't have to live in the state of depression anymore. There's a beauty about it. Sweetheart, would you put that first picture up? I want them to see what brokenness really can look like if you put it in God's hands. If you put your life in God's hands. Gentlemen, you've come through the Hope House. You've been down life's road. You know what it's all about. I'll be 62 a month from today. Hint, hint. No, I'm just kidding. 62 years old, I have never in all my life done any illegal drugs. I've never had a drop of alcohol in my body. I've never smoked a cigarette. So I'm sorry, I can't say I've been where you are today. I can only imagine. But And if you let God use you and put you back together, you've got friends that you can reach that pastor and I can't. When you tell your past, don't tell it with such love and desires that I want to go back. But they want to help bring you out. Yeah. Don't ever look down on somebody unless you're trying to help them up. For those of you that God has kept you, I thank God that He's given you the privilege, and that's a great honor that God's chosen you and brought you out of that life of style. But for those of you who've never been as myself, the same God that delivered them was the same God that kept me. So young people, you don't have to go down the road that these gentlemen has went down. And I'm not belittling them in the road that they've been down. I'm telling you, the God that delivered them is the same God that can keep you. Tonight, I believe it would be worth it all if we could all find a place around the front to pray. There's a beauty in being broken. Why suffer pain? Brother Nealon's already said, you hold it in, it's going to come out in hate. It's going to come out in sufferings. But if you will allow God, He would allow you to use it to help somebody else. I know what you're going through. I've been down that road myself. Come on, let's make it together. And hand in hand, we walk together. I've never had to lose a child. I don't know what it's like, and don't have a son or a daughter I want to get rid of. I can only imagine what it's like. But oh, friend, I can help you tonight because I've been broken. I've been crushed. I've just told you bits of it tonight, of the road that I've been down. But I believe that God won't have to help you or take you down the road that He took me. I've either had a lot to learn or I'm an awful slow learner. But let me tell you something. The God that kept me is the God that can help you. The God that stirred me is the God that can stir you. I'm on the time that we can step out of that bound of depression. We can step out of the shake those chains of despondency. We can step out of that realm where no one cares. God cares. And you and He are a majority. Father, in your name, there's a lot of us here tonight that are hurting. I know where we walk. I see the look on the face. I pray, God, that you would touch the heart, the soul, the mind, and the body. Heal, oh God. Feel, oh God, and strengthen us. The beauty of broken. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to those that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. He's calling tonight. Saints, sinners alike, would you step out of your brokenness? Would you be willing to step out and say, okay, God, I know what I've been through. I know what I've been down, what road I've been down. Could you use me tonight as we lift our hands and our hearts? Let's lift our voices to Him today in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, you know the lies.
Pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in De Quincey. TPC, loving God and loving people.